are you ready to hear a man preach the Word of God like you've probably never heard before? I want you to please keep listening in as we look at the words of Amos the prophet, a bold man for God before the people of Israel and before the world.
Father, we love you, we worship and adore you, glorify thy name.
Welcome to Perception. My name is Don Rule, and I speak every week on this program called Perception, a work of the Nile Street Church of Christ in Klamath Falls, Oregon. Well, last week we were looking at the powerful book of Amos, and I want to continue to look at this penetrating book, this book that is so bold and so powerful in its literary form. In Amos chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, Amos reveals the sin and judgment of Syria when he writes, "Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Damascus and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because they have thrashed Gilead with implements of iron. But I will send a fire into the house of Hazael, which shall devour the palaces of Ben-Hadad. I will also break the gate bar of Damascus, and cut off the inhabitant from the valley of Avon, and the one who holds the scepter from Beth-Eden. The people of Syria shall go captive to Kir, says the Lord." Well, Syria had thrashed Gilead with implements of iron. It sounds as though the Syrians had done something very cruel to the Israelites. Perhaps the Syrians completely wiped out the town of Gilead, or they may have done something to the Israelites themselves. And this obviously angered God, and he said, okay, here's your judgment. They may have actually used implements of iron to thresh the people. Now, threshing means to beat grain, and the husks are separated from the grain and the straw and the chaff. The judgment of Syria, he says, fire will come into the royal dwellings. God will break the bar of Damascus. Notice especially the end of verse 5, that Syria would go captive to Kir. The Syrians originally immigrated from this place called Kir. And God says, I'm going to send you back there. Amos 9, verse 7 makes reference to this. "Are you not like the people of Ethiopia to me, O children of Israel, says the Lord? Did I not bring up Israel from the land of Egypt, the Philistines from Kaphtor, and the Syrians from Kir? Now the year 732 BC marks the date when these things were fulfilled. And indeed, in the book of 2 Kings 16, verse 9, the Bible shows the fulfillment when it says, "So the king of Assyria heeded him, for the king of Assyria went up against Damascus and took it, carried its people captive to Kir, and killed Rezin." Now we move into Amos chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. Here is the sin and judgment of Philistia. Again the prophet writes, "Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Gaza and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because they took captive the whole captivity to deliver them up to Edom. But I will send a fire upon the wall of Gaza, which shall devour its palaces. I will cut off the inhabitant from Ashdod, and the one who holds the scepter from Ashkelon. I will turn my hand against Ekron, and the remnant of the Philistines shall perish, says the Lord God." Well, the sin of Philistia was, they took captive the whole captivity and delivered them to Edom. This sounds like slave trading, and they must have been cruel in the way they did it. Thus, the judgment of Philistia was that they would have fire in the royal dwelling places, the inhabitants would be cut off, and Philistia would also fall to the Assyrians, just like Syria did, but it happened in the year 734 BC. Next, in verses 9 and 10, is the sin and judgment of Tyre. Again, we hear the prophet say in his writing, "Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Tyre and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because they have delivered up the whole captivity to Edom, and did not remember the covenant of brotherhood. But I will send a fire upon the wall of Tyre, which shall devour its palaces." Well, the sin of Tyre was that they also delivered the captivity, that is, the captivity of Israel, to Edom, and thus did not remember the covenant of brotherhood. Thus, they dealt in slave trading of the Israelites, and since there was a brotherhood between Tyre and Israel, this made the sin of Tyre even worse. Their judgment was that there would be fire in the royal dwelling places or palaces. And sure enough, Sennacherib of Assyria overwhelmed Tyre in 701 BC, and Ashurbanipal reduced the city to rubble in 663 BC. Then, in the year 332, Alexander the Great of Greece wiped out Tyre forever. Next is the sin in judgment of Edom in verses 11 and 12. "Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Edom, and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because he pursued his brother with the sword and cast off all pity. His anger tore perpetually, and he kept his wrath forever. But I will send a fire upon Teman, which shall devour the palaces of Bozrah." The sin of Edom was that he pursued his brother with the sword. Israel was a brother to Edom. So pursuing his brother here in this manner was a grievous sin. And the judgment of Edom, likewise, was fire in the royal dwelling palaces. In fact, the book of Edom, of Obadiah, is devoted to this judgment upon Edom. Next is the sin and judgment of Ammon in verses 13 through 15. "Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of the people of Ammon and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because they ripped open the women with child in Gilead, that they might enlarge their territory. But I will kindle a fire in the wall of Rabbah, and it shall devour its palaces. Amid shouting in the day of battle, and a tempest in the day of the whirlwind. Their king shall go into captivity, he and his princes together, says the Lord." Look at the sin of Ammon. They ripped open the pregnant women of Gilead. And did you notice why they ripped open the pregnant women? They wanted to enlarge their territory. Get rid of the children so we can have more, was their way of thinking. Friends, why is abortion legal in the land that believes, quote, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, end quote? Why is abortion legal in the land that believes, quote, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity? Did they ordain and establish the Constitution of the United States of America? If you think about it, you will discover that the reasons are similar to the reasons that Ammon ripped open the pregnant women. Having a baby keeps a woman from having or doing what she wants to do. Apparently, the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution do not apply to babies. While the Ammonites were not performing abortions on their own women, they were getting rid of the unborn children of Israel so that Ammon can have more for themselves. And thus, they were going to receive judgment from God. Fire in the royal dwelling palaces. Their king would become a captive. After about 581 or 582 BC, Ammon suffered its permanent destruction at the hands of the Babylonians. My dear friends, listen to what we're hearing here in Amos chapter 1, that all people are subject to God. These nations were Israel's neighbors. Syria was Israel's northern neighbor. Tyre and Philistia were on the west, along the coast. Edom was in the south. Ammon and Moab, which we'll see further in the book of Amos, were on the east. Some of these nations were related to the Israelites. Edom was a descendant of Esau. Ammon and Moab were descendants of Lot, Abraham's nephew. None of them, even Israel's relatives except Judah, were worshippers of the true God. Did this relinquish their obligation to Yahweh God? No. All people, whether they acknowledge God or not, or follow some other religion other than God's religion, are still obligated to Him. And here's why. Moses and Aaron said of God in Numbers 16:22 that He is the God of the spirits of all flesh. Can someone say logically and scripturally the following? Religion, namely Christianity, is nothing more than personal choice? Can a soldier who is AWOL claim that he has no obligation to his superior officer? Can a foreigner roam in America disregarding our laws? Well, you see the answers to those. So you see that Christianity is not just personal choice. Everyone is obligated to the Lord. In the same way, although you are not a Christian, you are still subject to the laws of Christ, and you will appear before Him at the judgment. Therefore, everyone, Christian and non-Christian, shall appear before God at the judgment. Revelation 20 is a picture of the last judgment. And the thing to note at this point here is that every human being will be present. Revelation 20, starting at verse 11, John writes, "Then I saw a great white throne, and Him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works, by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. My dear friends, here's what we need to learn from the first chapter of the book of Amos, especially from its literary technique, which I pointed out to you last week. For three transgressions of a nation or a person, and for four, God says, I will not turn away its punishment. You see, there comes a time when punishment or when repentance is no longer possible. Friends, you can go so deep into sin that you will never come out. You can stay in sin from which you will never repent. And then all of a sudden, there's the judgment. Do not let God say about you, for three transgressions of John Doe, and for four, I will not turn away his punishment. Now is the time to be saved. Don't wait anymore. At the end of this message today, I will tell you how to get in touch with us, that we might help you so that you can be saved. Now as we move into the second chapter of Amos, we learn about the sin and judgment of Moab in Amos chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Moab and for four, I will not turn away its punishment. Because he burned the bones of the king of Edom to lime. But I will send a fire upon Moab, and it shall devour the palaces of Kirioth. Moab shall die with tumult, with shouting and trumpet sound. And I will cut off the judge from its midst, and slay all its princes with him, says the Lord. Now look at the sin of Moab. Moab burned the bones of the king of Edom to lime. You see, the fact that he was dead was not enough. They had to burn his bones to lime. This is showing us a nation whose rage was out of control. Their thirst for vengeance and violence could not be satisfied. It was as though they were trying to take the place of God by punishing someone beyond the point of death. Interestingly, the five nations that we looked at just a few moments ago in chapter 1 had sinned against Israel, but in this case, Moab had sinned against Edom. God sees and takes action accordingly between the people of the world, even when that nation is not fighting against his people or helping his people. And so then there's the judgment of Moab. A fire shall dwell, or devour all the palaces of Kirioth. Moab shall die with tumult, shouting, trumpet sound. That is, when Moab would be destroyed, other nations would celebrate. Judge and princes, he said, shall be cut off. Next is the sin and judgment of Judah. Amos 2, 4 and 5. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Judah and for four, I will not turn away its punishment. Because they have despised the law of the Lord and have not kept his commandments. Their lies lead them astray, lies which their fathers followed. But I will send a fire upon Judah, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem. Now it was hitting home for the original readers of this text. The sin of Judah. Judah despised the law of their own Lord. Now, you know, the other nations could argue that they did not even know the law of the Lord, but Judah could not make that argument. Therefore, their sin was great. Judah's sin was greater than the sin of the previous nations. Despising what God has given, my friends, is no light matter. They did not keep his commandments. Of course, if they despised his law, they would not obey it. This was just the height of rebellion. They followed after lies. Idolatry was the main lie for which Judah would be punished. Just think of how offensive idolatry is to God, that his people would change his glory for a piece of wood or a stone. And what was the judgment of Judah? Fire shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem. Now, you know the northern kingdom of Israel must have enjoyed hearing Amos sentence his own nation, because that's where Amos was from. He wasn't from the northern nation of Israel, but from Judah in the south. However, Proverbs 24, 17 and 18 issues a strong warning about rejoicing when your enemy falls. King Solomon wrote, "Do not rejoice when your enemy falls, and do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles, lest the Lord see it, and it displease him, and he turn away his wrath from him." The spirit of self-righteousness is abhorred by God, for the one who has it thinks he is sinless. Israel was about to see the wrath of God that was upon Syria, Philistia, Tyre, Edom, Ammon, Moab, and Judah. Israel was about to see the wrath of God put on all those nations now be put upon itself. The sin and judgment of Israel is now given in Amos 2, 6 through 16. You can see right there that he's going to say a whole lot more. And here's what he says. Thus says the Lord, "For three transgressions of Israel and for four, I will not turn away its punishment. Because they sell the righteous for silver and the poor for a pair of sandals. They pant after the dust of the earth which is on the head of the poor and pervert the way of the humble. A man and his father go into the same girl to defile my holy name. They lie down by every altar on clothes taken in pledge and drink the wine of the condemned in the house of their God. Yet it was I who destroyed the Amorite before them, whose height was like the height of the cedars, and he was as strong as the oaks. Yet I destroyed his fruit above and his roots beneath. Also it was I who brought you up from the land of Egypt and led you 40 years to the wilderness to possess the land of the Amorite. I raised up some of your sons as prophets and some of your young men as Nazarites. Is it not so, O you children of Israel, says the Lord? But you gave the Nazarites wine to drink and commanded the prophets, saying, Do not prophesy. Behold, I am weighed down by you as a cart full of sheaves is weighed down. Therefore flight shall perish from the swift, the strong shall not strengthen his power, nor shall the mighty deliver himself. He shall not stand who handles the bow, the swift of foot shall not escape, nor shall he who rides a horse deliver himself. The most courageous men of might shall flee naked in that day, says the Lord." How Israel could have reacted to the preceding prophecies is like this. Israel had suffered at the hands of their neighbors for centuries. Thus to hear Amos so boldly denounce the sins of those nations and to reveal the utter ruin those nations would face would bring joy to the hearts of the Israelites. Even Judah and Israel had problems between themselves, which is why the kingdom split. Thus the powerful rebuke and condemnation of Judah could have really brought Israel to the side of Amos. The religious emotions of Israel would be getting very high, but then in verse 6, the prophet delivers a bombshell. Amos does not change his tone. He uses the same rhythmic poetry. Now Israel would have forgotten the denunciation of the previous seven nations. They perhaps became hard of heart, as the scolding against them was more elaborate than the other nations. The sin of Israel, they perverted the justice due to the righteous poor. Israel committed a spiritual social evil. It was not just the poor that Israel neglected and persecuted, but it was the righteous poor. They neglected the poor for personal gain and pleasure. They would not even help the poor if the Israelites had some new shoes that they wanted instead. The poor and the humble were trampled upon by them. They were fornicating. They used pledges from the poor for personal pleasure. And the law of Moses was very explicit that this was something they were not supposed to do. The Israelites were supposed to help the poor, not take advantage of them. And interestingly, in verse 8 that I read to you earlier, But Amos said that the clothes they had taken in pledge, they would lie down on those clothes right by the altar. That is, right in the face of God. As though, God, we don't care what your law says. This is what we're going to do. God had blessed Israel, he reminds them. God destroyed the Amorite for the sake of Israel. The Amorite was tall and strong. God destroyed the fruit and the root of the Amorite. God delivered Israel from Egypt, leading Israel 40 years in the wilderness, and leading Israel to possess the land of the Amorite. God made Israel spiritual. God made some of Israel's sons prophets and raised up some of Israel's young men as Nazarites. But what did Israel do? They gave the Nazarites wine to drink. They commanded the prophets not to prophesy. Just further complicating or compounding their sin. God was burdened by Israel. I mean, Israel weighed down God as a cart that is weighed down by a full capacity of sheaves, like a cart so heavy stuck in the mud that even the strongest among men cannot move it. So Israel was going to receive its judgment. The mighty men of Israel shall not be able to deliver themselves. The courageous men of might, he said, would flee naked. The nation was strong in so many ways, but spiritually they were as weak as they could be. And so even the strongest among them could not move them. Well, more of Israel's sins and judgments shall be revealed in the rest of the prophecy of Amos, which we shall get to in the following weeks. But let me conclude with this. The claim to be God's people does not clear us of judgment. If we are living in the grace of God, we shall not be condemned. But we can have all confidence and joy as we rush toward eternity. If we are living in sin, we cannot think that just being the children of God will exempt us from the condemnation or punishment of God. Being a child of God and living in sin with impunity can make the punishment worse, in fact. Therefore, you need to remove sin from your life now. If you're a Christian, you need to confess your sin to God and repent of it immediately. If you're not a Christian, you need to become one as soon as possible, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, repenting of your sins, and being immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. If we can help you in obeying the Lord, please get in contact with us. The Nile Street Church of Christ is listed in the Yellow Pages. There you'll see our worship times as well as our phone number. Till next Sunday, my friends, sharpen your perception about God's judgment of the world. This has been Perception with Don Rule and the Nile Street Church of Christ in Carmel Falls, Oregon. Thank you for listening.
As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit. Alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. I want you more than gold or silver, only you can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you.